This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to another program on another Saturday afternoon. And we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Donna and I co-pastor church here in Stuart. We have, soon to be 25 years, Pastor Donna. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. And we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebrewism and understanding the roots that we should be looking into that a lot of people don't even realize is there, or it's been ignored in many of the churches, about our Jewish foundation and all. And that's what we have our whole basis. That's the establishment of everything. The seven appointed times over in Leviticus chapter 23. That was all established not only for something historic event that happened at that time, but also the prophetic implications of that right now. And you know, this past Wednesday was on the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, was the day of Pentecost. And so the church will be celebrating, I suppose, this weekend on Sunday.
Amen.
And we hope to talk about the important things of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so we just thought we'd go on a little bit more with this. We talked about some of it last week and the week before. But it's one of the most important topics in the Bible. And a lot of times it's been ignored, hasn't it, Pastor Don?
We need the Holy Ghost every day.
We need the Holy Ghost every single
every
day
moment.
Of our life. That's right. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon to 1 o'clock every Saturday, and we've been doing this now. Boy, it's hard to believe. July the 8th, honey, it'll be 20 years. Can you believe that? 20 years on WCNO Radio.
It'll also be our anniversary.
That's right, our anniversary on that date. Yep. Hallelujah. So we're honored to be here with you.
And our wedding anniversary.
Our wedding anniversary, yeah.
There's a lot of anniversaries, yeah. Right? Our wedding anniversary.
Yeah. It's on the same day, awesome. July the 8th. So anyway, we're honored to be here with you. And have ears to hear what the Spirit of God might say to you today as we listen to this, because there's a lot of, I don't know, controversy in this, and it shouldn't be. It's in the Bible about this thing called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we've talked about this so much on this program over the years that I believe also, and so does Pastor Don, that God wants every single believer that comes to Christ to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2 and all the way through all the book of Acts, whenever someone was born again and they received Christ, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So the foundational proof of the empowering was the baptism, and all that was the basic understanding to show us the reason and the purpose behind it was tongues came, didn't it?
Yes,
and
are you going to get it out?
Yeah, I'm going to get it out.
It's easier sometimes to talk in tongues than it is to speak in English. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So God wants us all to have that, but most of the church, for some reason, just thinks it was passed away, but it's not. And it's powerful. And many times we don't know how to pray for somebody. We can just quietly begin to pray in tongues if we have this baptism. And listen to the Spirit of God. And then whatever you hear, then you say it. And so that's what God wants us to know. That's the power. And if you look at the disciples, we talked about this over the past several weeks. You know, here they walked with the Messiah for 3.5 years and saw all the signs, wonders, miracles, the things he taught and the things he preached on and the moving of the Spirit and all that. And they, after his resurrection, they still didn't comprehend it. And we see over here, if we look at it real close over here in John chapter 21, I believe it is, we find out that... 21, I think it is, we find out that they were going to go back to their old trade. They were going to go back to being fishermen again, you know? Uh-huh. And so Jesus wanted to let them know that, hey, there's something supernatural that's going to happen, and I need you on this earth to perform and accomplish what I want done, not what you want done. So the power came on them, and they didn't fully understand. And so here they were, wanting to go back because they were confused to what they were doing before Jesus rose from the grave. Well, now he's risen from the grave, and he told them in Luke chapter 24 to go to Jerusalem and to tarry until you receive what? Power from on high, until you be endued with power from on high. Well, what's the power that's going to be endued from on high? It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're going to look at this with you for a little bit again today, and you may be hearing some things you've heard before on this program. But that's all right. You know, we don't hear remember everything we hear the first time. So the Bible says we learn a little here and a little there. And so that's what we want. We want to continue to hear those things. The gospel never gets old to me. I love hearing about Jesus and what he did and all with the gospel, the good news of Christ. And so there's so much in this. And I don't understand how the church has this. It's almost like a hard heart toward this. And they almost despise sometimes people that claim that they have it. Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't claim I have it. I've got it. We sing a song at church. I've got it. What have I got? I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of the power that's within me and within Pastor Donna. And he gave us that gift, that heavenly language that we talk to God and not to men. We need that for the power to flow through us and to accomplish what God wants in our Amen. Lives today. So we just release all of you hearers today. If you don't have this, and you don't believe in it, well, we want you to listen carefully, and maybe you'll hear something that will perk your ears up a little bit and say, wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible, and then we can begin to realize what God wants you to have. He wants us all to have the power. It's not just a select few. It's not for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's for the entire body of Christ. Everyone that comes, God wants them to have that, because we're going to communicate with the God of heaven. We're going to speak to him and not to man. Aren't you glad? And the devil doesn't understand it. Hallelujah. And sometimes we don't understand it. But we can pray and we can ask God to help us to have the understanding. Can't we, Pastor Don? And so that builds us up.
Builds our faith.
Yeah, look in the book of Jude. It says building up your most holy faith by praying out in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit if you don't have the baptism? How do you pray in the Spirit?
You can't.
You can't unless you have that power, that dynamo that's been stirred up in you and in your body and in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I want to give our telephone number first.
Yeah, go ahead, honey.
In case there may be somebody that's driving down the highway or would like to listen to this broadcast again, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. We're also on the internet. And it would be WCNO.com. Mm-hmm. So you can go to the internet. They have 24/7 radio broadcasting, and we're on every Saturday. You can check their guide, and there's podcasts. You can listen to anything that we have taught in the past, and several past few weeks we've been teaching about on the Holy Spirit, on the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Sure have.
So I want to just say hello, and we are just blessed to be on this broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. And
Hallelujah.
We do have services every weekend. We have services here in Stuart, Florida. Of course, Pastor Gene likes to call meetings because we want to meet with God. Amen. We're meeting with God. So we meet with God every Friday night at 7 p.m. And again on Saturday. Today we'll have meet at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we have a very good video to watch and talk about. And it's called what, Pastor Gene?
Well, we're going to talk about an interesting scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
It's
verse 3. And this is a DVD that was done by the Prophecy Watchers Ministry. Gary Stearman and a man by the name of Andy Woods, very well-known man, are going to discuss this thing, this one verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and part of verse 3. And this one verse proves the pre-tribulation of the catching away.
That's right, because you know you're hearing, we hear it all the time. We hear a lot of teachings, and a lot of people are even doubting the catching away. But
that's right.
King James calls it catching away; it doesn't say rapture.
That's right.
But a lot of the church calls it the rapture. It's the catching away. It's the body of Christ. Those who are saved, those who are walking with the Lord. He says he's coming after those that are looking for him. So says that in the book
that's
of
right.
Revelation.
Not those who are not.
So not for those who are not. So we need to be looking. He wants us to be on fire. We need to be on fire for the Lord. So that's going to be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So come if you can. And then again tomorrow we'll meet at 10 a.m. in the morning on Sunday. So we're here in Stuart, Florida on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. In the Monterey Plaza, right next to Save a Lot Food Store, and the name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy. If you want to Google it, you can Google it, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and that would be a blessing to be able to see you as well. Excuse me. So I want to give the phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Amen?
That's right. Wonderful, isn't it? So, anyway, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour.
Amen.
I love teaching and talking about the Holy Ghost because I remember when I got saved, and I never went to church except a couple of times when I was a small boy, and went a couple of times with my wife after we got married, so I just didn't have any understanding of a lot of things in the Bible. And when I came to Christ, well, then I read in the Bible about this event that happened. It wasn't some story. It was an event that happened. And the church we went to was a Spirit-filled church, and they talked about these things, and I wanted it. I wanted it. But I
didn't, Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, but I didn't really comprehend exactly how it would come. Now, some people come to Christ, and immediately they receive it as soon as they receive Jesus, but I didn't. And so I had a little struggle with it for about 3 months. And finally, after 3 months, the power came. And my life was never the same after that. And I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. I believe the reason why so much of the church that we see today, so much backsliding, and people can't be conquerors, and Jesus, he said, you're more than conquerors in Christ. Why they're not doing that is because they do not have the power. They do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is why so many of them are falling back. You know, I've been saved now. It's going to be 35 years. It'll be in September. And I've never thought one time, Don and I, we came at the same time to the Lord. I've never thought one time about going back to the old things I used to do. Not one time. Not one time. I'm pressing on to the high call that God has for our lives. And so this is the power that the church needs so we can truly be an overcomer. And it was intended for everybody that came to Christ to have it. And we've talked about this a lot in Acts. You know, all through the book of Acts, every time someone received Christ, right after that, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with another language. What language was that? A heavenly language that God has assigned to all of us. No one else has the language that I have. So I'm communicating with God directly and not to man. Just like the pupils of our eyes, they say there's no two pupils are exactly the same. No two fingerprints are the same in our lives and all. And so this is something that God gives to us, and he understands everything that we pray in that language because he's the one that's given it. And we might mention this up front. Only the King James Bible has the word Holy Ghost in there. We mentioned this in the past. When you think about it, it's very important. The Spirit of God is the giver. He's the giver of all the gifts, okay? And so what did Jesus and his Father give us? He gave us the Holy Ghost, and it came by the Spirit of God. Well, people have a problem with that word ghost. We're not talking about some entity floating around, you know, like you see in these movies and all. No, it was an old German word that meant hosting somebody. And so if you look at it real close, it's showing us that once we get the baptism and all that, we're hosting God in a powerful new way. So that's what the Holy, and is it holy? It's set apart?
He is holy.
It's holy. He is holy.
That's
for us.
He.
And it's a he.
He.
Yeah,
God.
That's right. And so, so he's setting us apart with that, that we can communicate with God and not to man. And it's going to give us the strength and the ability to go out. The Apostle Paul said in the Bible, in Acts, what did he say? I pray in tongues more than you all. And he needed it. Well, don't we need it? Sure we need it. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit. Might bring a little less confusion, I hope, in the body of Christ. But there's a lot of parts of the Bible is being revealed to people with these manifestations and all. And a lot of the mainline denominations, all they disdain this like it was done away with. It's not been done away with. God doesn't give anything to us and then take it away. And so thank God for that. And I praise God, the church we got into after I got saved on the side of the road one morning that we went to was a spirit-filled church right from the building, right from the beginning. Didn't have any clutter in my mind or any understanding from what somebody else had been teaching me for 2 or 3 years if I was in some other church. No, I got the fullness of it right from the start when we walked in and after we received Christ. We went to that church and we realized about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we wanted it. And so we received it. Hallelujah. And it changed everything in our life. And so that's the power. That's the dynamo behind all of it. It's the dynamo that kicks everything into place. Hallelujah. I always think about these big Caterpillar tractors with the huge wheels you see that they work out on the roads with. Well, you know, they have a little engine that they put on those things to start them and it just kicks it over a little bit. And then the big motor starter kicks in and then the thing starts and begins to run. That's like us. We get born again, the Spirit's there, but then we need something to kick that Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Ghost, to a new place, a new dimension. So we step into that realm and it takes us into the supernatural realm. It's obvious. It brings us to the supernatural realm. So those disciples, they were totally confused. They were after what Jesus did before their eyes all those 3.5 years. Well, they were confused. But when they got to Jerusalem and tarried those 10 days, we've already talked about that in Acts chapter 2. But they waited those 10 days, and then there was a suddenly that came into that room. And it says they were all, not some, they were all, about 120 people, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Listen to this now. As the Spirit gives the utterance. You hear that? The Spirit is the one that moves upon us. And so, hallelujah, I get excited about it. And we always think, or I do, that how could people get by without it? How could you get by without it? It's an amazing gift that God gave. So I thought we'd go over here to chapter 20 in John to show you some things here. This was after Jesus' resurrection. And remember, the women came to the tomb. I'm going to start in John 20, verse 15. Well, I'll start in 14. And I'll start in verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, who weep? Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, these angels that appeared, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, or thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which means teacher, tells you right here, which is to say master or teacher. It's amazing when we think about all this. Hallelujah. And Jesus saith unto her, and listen to what he said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Whoa. So they were going to lay hands on him, weren't they?
She and wanted to touch him.
He says, don't touch me. I have not ascended to heaven to cleanse the altar in heaven. And we see there's two ascensions. He went up there, came back, and spent those days with the disciples. And then he went away again in Acts chapter 1 over there. Now, let's go on here.
18.
Yeah, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So here he is in a supernatural body, walks right through the doors into that room. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So remember, the Holy Ghost is also ascending spirit.
Amen.
And when he had said this, He breathed. He actually blew on them and mm-hmm. saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not the baptism that we're talking about. This is when they were born again. This is when the Spirit of God really came to dwell in them. But see, they couldn't receive that until Jesus died and rose from the grave. All right? So we see this. Now, with that in mind, we know, I'm going to take you back to, let's go back to Luke.
So they were born again right there.
Right
in,
there.
In this, at this point in this chapter, it's interesting, it's verse 22.
That's right.
And, you know, numbers, I like numbers. 22 to me is, when I see the number 22, I think of all the Hebrew letters, because there's
right.
22 Hebrew letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of what Jesus said, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's
uh-huh.
the beginning and he's the end. He's the Aleph and he's the Tav. He's everything, and
that's
he's
right.
everything in between. Mm-hmm. So from the very first letter all the way to the very last letter, the first letter is the Aleph, which is a picture of God and strength and ox,
that's
and,
right.
you know, and it has a lot of meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the last Hebrew letter is the Tav, which is represented by a cross. How
yeah.
did he finish everything? He finished everything on
the
cross.
Cross.
And and you would think that the Jewish people would see this even in their Hebrew lettering.
That's
writing.
Right.
Because, you know, the world and the enemy tried to destroy the Hebrew language. They tried to destroy all the Torahs. And that's why there's not a whole lot of Torahs, but you know, well, there are now, but it's because people make new Torahs. But they tried to destroy that language. They didn't. They said, no, we don't want this language. And so,
that's right.
But, you know, it's not. It's alive and well. That language is Hebrew language is alive and well. It hasn't been destroyed. In fact, many people are starting to learn it and starting to learn what the different letters mean and what they are, because only the Hebrew letters, it's quite interesting. I mean, I didn't know anything about any Hebrew letters, but now I know them all, and I know what some of them, most of them mean, and I know what they are. Every one of them is represented by something. The Hebrew letter is the only one that's, it's like it's dimensional, three dimensions. It probably has more than three dimensions, I would imagine. But, you know, the Holy Ghost would have to show us that. But I know for sure it has a meaning. You spell
mm-hmm.
words with it. It's also a number. All the other, you know, our alphabet, we have numbers separate. But the Hebrew alphabet, they're all numbers. And they all, like the Aleph is the one. You know, the Mem is 40. You know, and then they go up to 400. So they all have numbers. And numbers have meanings when God's talking about the Hebrew scriptures. Every number has a meaning, and everyone has a picture. You know, they're a picture of something, like the bait. The second one is a picture of Yeshua. It's a number
mm-hmm.
two, and it also represents a house or a tent. And so when we ask Jesus into our heart, he becomes, we're a tabernacle, and so he is he's home. He's housed in us by way of the Holy Ghost, and by way, because he blew on them right here, it says.
That's right, he breathed.
And he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, someone might say, well, it says Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, but we can prove that this isn't the time that they received the gift of speaking in tongues, because there was a later date when they received that, because we're going to talk about that, because he told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem.
We're going to read that in just a moment.
Which was
yeah.
50 days after after this happened.
That's
50
right.
days from this day
mm-hmm.
right here.
That's right.
That they went, Jesus walked with them for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. Many of them saw that. But he told him to go to Jerusalem. There was another 10 days that
mm-hmm.
he told him to go to Jerusalem and wait and tarry, because they were going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
So they knew what Pentecost was all about. They knew that God spoke to the children of Israel on the day of Pentecost from the mountain. So they all knew that.
1,500
years before that, when Moses went up to the top of the mountain and the law was given, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they knew, and the shofar was blown, and it was a loud blast. And so they knew that was a very special feast day, that they were all to come to Jerusalem. All the Jews were to come to Jerusalem, especially the men, three times a year.
They all had to be there.
And one of the times was at Pentecost, their Shavuot, right. they call it. It's called in the Hebrew, Shavuot. So they were all there, and so they knew something was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew that was when the power of God was released at Mount Sinai, and the law was given. And, you know, Yeshua is the law.
He's the Torah.
Yeah. He is the Torah. So the Torah was given at Mount Sinai 1,500 years or so before that, but Yeshua, he brought the Torah in himself.
Sure did.
And he's given it to us.
Hallelujah.
That we can have the Torah by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And when we see, they couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep things. But we have the Holy Ghost. See, they were going to receive the Holy Ghost later. because they were going to go, like you said, they were going to go back to fishing. Well, when you have the Holy Ghost is, I don't like to call the Holy Ghost it. I like to call it him.
Him or he.
He is always moving.
That's right.
And it will just sit there. So we'll just something that will just sit. But a person, he's a person of the Holy Ghost. He's always wanting to move in us. And so he's always wanting to get it, unction us, give us that unction to move in the Holy Ghost and to move in godliness, to move in truth, to be obedient to what he tells us, the unction that we can hear his voice. He speaks to us.
That's right.
So, you know, he's always wanting to move in us. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, it's after you're born again. You get born again, you receive the Holy Ghost. You might get born again, get baptized, then receive the Holy Ghost. You might get born again, receive the Holy Ghost, and then get baptized. But the power is in receiving the Holy Ghost after you receive your salvation.
Sure.
So he wants, because, you know, he doesn't want us to struggle.
Nope.
God doesn't want us to struggle. And he said, you know, he says, it's your God and my God. I really like that, what it says in verse 17. He said, because he says, I sent unto my Father and to your Father. He makes it quite clear.
Yes,
and
he
to
did.
My God and to your God. So it's the same God that Yeshua is, and the same Father that we have, that we receive when we get born again and when we receive the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
And he also says in another place that, you know, he had to go back to his Father before they could send the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So they work together. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they all work together. But Jesus had to return to the right hand of the Father before he could send the gift of the Holy Ghost to them on the day of Pentecost.
Proving it's what? That baptism is subsequent,
right,
to being born again.
And some people say, well, just it's not for today, it was just for the disciples.
Yeah.
That's not true, because there were over 120 people in that room, and there were women in that room, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and they all spake with tongues.
And all through the book of Acts, the same thing.
And all through the book of Acts, people received the Holy Ghost. Some of them received it after they were born again, after they were baptized in water. Some of them received it before they were baptized in water. And there's different examples that we can see, and And some of them received it without anybody laying hands on
them. That's right.
Some of them you really received it without the laying on of hands.
That's right.
But you held it back.
I
you
held
quenched
it, back
it and you were afraid.
Scared me.
And so it scared you. So because you were a baby Christian, you didn't know. But then when somebody laid hands on you, then you received it.
Yeah,
but
released
you really
it.
Had it, you it released it, but you really had already received it.
Yeah, I had.
You just hadn't grabbed hold of it, I guess, and just, you know, just flowed with it. But once that lady laid her hands on your, like on your jawbone, you just
it poured out
and never stopped. So
yeah.
And he doesn't want, and it's not to stop. It's not just to receive it and say, okay, I got it. And that's it. No, it's a power that keeps us in his perfect will. It's a keeping power that will keep us in his perfect will, that will lead us and guide us, and you know, we don't have to sin because we're being led by the Holy Ghost. That's what he talks about. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you will have the law written on your heart.
That's
and that's
right.
Where it needs to be, written on our heart. You know, written in a book is good, but it's not gonna help you walk your life. When it's written in your heart, then you're gonna have that unction. You got Jesus, you got the Spirit of God within us, the Holy Ghost, and he's gonna lead us and guide us what? Into all what? All truth.
That's right. And the only requirement is we must be born again. That's the only requirement, and then you can receive. So ask and you shall receive, you know.
Amen.
So I finally had it happen, but I didn't fully understand it. But see, we're trying to help you understand it, that it has to be subsequent to being born again. But it could happen the day that you accepted Christ in your life. The moment, one moment after you receive Christ, you could receive it and have the baptism. God doesn't do that with everybody. But he could. In the book of Acts, looks like he did it a lot, didn't he? And so it's the power that we need. It's the dynamite power that we need to go out and do the work of the Lord. And it tells us over there, and you read over John 12, 13, 14. It tells you about the power that it brings. He's our comforter. He's going to be there when we have need. And he's going to tell us things to come. And
mm-hmm.
The verse caught me right here, Pastor. Now I took everybody over to Luke chapter 24.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to read this with me, and then we'll go on. Verse 44 in Luke 24 says this, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now this is what caught me right here. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So who opens our understanding of the scriptures? The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
That's how we get the understanding. He opened it up so they could understand it. They hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet, but he just gave it to them so they could understand the scriptures. And then verse 46, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, only his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now here's the key verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or this means to be clothed, what? With power from on high. And they didn't really know what it was going to be. But then we go over to Acts chapter 1 and we find out what happened. We can read that, can't we? About 120 people gathered together on the day of Pentecost, and the city was packed because all the males from all the world that were Jewish had to travel to Israel on that particular appointed time. And by the way, it happened to be a high Sabbath as well.
You know, also, Pastor Gene, the Holy Ghost will direct you into your calling. There's a lot of people out there we talk to that they don't really know what their calling is.
Nope.
And so, but the Holy Ghost does know what our calling is. He knows what everyone's mm-hmm. calling is. And that we can prove that by, we can go back over here to John where they received the Holy Ghost. That's when they were born again. One of the disciples wasn't there. You know, Thomas wasn't there.
So
he didn't receive it at that time, did he?
Nope.
Until he came in, and then he was able to. He says he wasn't going to believe until, you know, he touched his, you know, he wanted to handle him and all that.
He would put his hand in his side,
and
didn't
then
he?
So when Thomas Thomas, he called him my Lord and my God. You know, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
That's us.
And then he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Mm-hmm. Now this was after the resurrection, which are not written in this book. Amen? That's awesome. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, when you go on to chapter, I'm not going to read it, but when you go into chapter 21 of John, that's when you talked about they went fishing.
Yep.
So they were born again, but they hadn't received the power. So they really didn't know their calling. They were going back to their fishing. And so they needed to have the power. See, that didn't get any, they were saved. That means that they were saved, they were going to go to heaven. But they didn't have the power to do
the work.
The work that God had called them to be and to live the life God called them to live, because they were going to go back to their mm-hmm. their old trade. So, you know, the power of the Holy Ghost is what helps us to get in the place that God wants us to be,
mm-hmm.
Whether it would be, you know, living a holy life or fulfilling the destiny and the call that he has upon our life. So I think that's important too, because they really didn't know their calling and they didn't have the power to fulfill that.
Try.
Because they were going to go back to their old ways, their old mm-hmm. things. Not that there's anything wrong with fishing, you know, but Jesus even showed them a miracle with the fishing, because they fished all night and didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, you throw the net on
the
right
other
side.
Yeah.
If you do things the right way, you know,
yeah.
In other words, I think there's always a double meaning. I think with the Hebrew language also, many times there's a double, what do you call that? There's something you call the reference of a double meaning.
A lot of things, yeah.
So, you know, we're to do things the right way, you know.
That's right.
And so we put it on the right side, and then they thought, well, that's silly. You know, what's the difference? The water's the same on both sides of the boat.
Just a few feet
Well,
further.
It's not the same on both sides of the boat.
That's right.
Because, you know, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
He's not on the left hand of the Father. You know, and so he said, throw the net on the right hand. And you saw what happened. They caught all these fish, more than they could. And the net didn't tear.
Nope.
But yet they didn't really need the fish. Jesus had already prepared the fish
for
them.
He already prepared it on the bank.
So,
yeah.
You know, he says, I've already prepared everything for you. You know, just do things the way I tell you to do them. And it says, and you know, you're not going to have to do all that work. You're not going to have to do all that fishing, because I'm going to do the fishing for you. Just do, follow me, he says. That's the key. That's the key word. Follow me.
Follow me.
Follow me.
That's
follow
right.
Me.
Follow me.
Go ahead, Pastor Chief.
So anyway, you know.
You're going where to?
No, I'm in Acts chapter 1, but I was just thinking about all this, you know, with the power that came. And, you know, those men didn't know, but after the power came, well, then they moved out. And if you read in history, all the different parts of the world they went, and how they led people to Christ, and they all died a terrible death except for the Apostle John. But then later on, when they, after the baptism came, they finally realized that they were apostles. Well, what is an apostle? It means a sent one, okay? And they had a special calling on their life, each and every one of them. So they found out what their call was, where they were going to go in the world and to share the gospel. And the message they were sharing was the same thing that all the other 11 and also the 12th one, you know, they all shared the same thought, the same preaching, the same understanding about the good news of Christ, that he came to save the entire world. As John the Baptist said the day he saw him coming down the road, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen.
And so that was, Jesus came to save that which was lost. And so he sent his disciples out, and they became apostles, these first 12. And what for? To declare the word of God and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he truly is the Messiah and nothing else. In fact, I like one verse over here in Acts chapter 2. I like this. Chapter 2, verse 36 is powerful. This is after Peter preached his message and all that, but just after he concluded it. And he made a statement here. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly," it means you can bank on it, "that God hath made that same Jesus," or Yeshua, that was his Hebrew name, "whom you have crucified," both, two things, both Lord and Christ. So both the Lord means he's God, and Christ means he's the anointed Messiah. So we could read it that way, "whom you have crucified," both Jesus Christ as our Lord, he's God, and what? The anointed Messiah. Powerful. And so it's funny how the disciples didn't understand that. But when they got to Jerusalem, obeyed what God says, that's important for us to remember. We have to obey what God tells us to do and make sure it's not our mind telling us to do something. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit more often, and we can hear what God's telling us to say, to do, or to communicate, whatever he wants said and done. So this is what they had. So they received the power, and they went out with the same, I'm going to say this slowly, they went out with the same message, message, not all the messages that we hear today. They're not necessarily his message. They're some man's message or some denomination's message. They all went out with the same message. They told the same thing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Did not try to run it or question it or figure it out or become a higher critic and all that like we have going on today. No. They just went out and shared the same things over and over and over, just like it says in the book of Revelation. You overcome Satan by the what? The blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And your testimony, and not loving your lives unto death. Your testimony is so important. So what did they tell? They told the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They told his testimony of what he came to the earth to do, and that's what they talked about. And they talked about his miracles and signs and wonders that he did. Amen. And all those things. And so it's incredible. In fact, I'm thinking about a verse here in chapter in Acts. Let's see if I can find this for you real quick here. I'm going to get a pushimon dara kasan dara ba.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think it's in chapter 10. See if I'm right here in the book of Acts. Yes, it's in Acts chapter 10. Listen to this now. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 34 of Acts 10. We're talking about receiving the power and all. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." This is after he had the vision with the sheets coming down and all that. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by" who? By Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Lord of all. He's the God of all, in other words.
Amen.
That word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." This was his baptism, baptism of repentance. So it tells you right here, it was published throughout all Judea. So they all heard the same message. Didn't hear 15 or 20 different thoughts about Christ. They heard the message about him. I love that. Glory be to God. They heard the message. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. And then we come down to verse 38. This is the key verse. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with" what? the Holy Ghost and with power.
Power.
So he was anointed. He was.
He is anointed.
He is. So what is the anointing? It's the Holy Ghost that's within us. He was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. I marked this in my Bible years ago. All, doesn't mean some. He healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. So they were eyewitnesses. So they spoke the same thing over and over and over about Yeshua being the Messiah.
Thank you, Lord.
Him, God, next verse 40, him, Yeshua, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost came what?
After
he died and all, but after what? After they were born again. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall what? Receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, these are the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, water baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us? Glory be to God. It's awesome. So they heard. So you know the vision that Peter had about the sheets and all that. You know, God wasn't telling him about things not to eat. He knew that. He was telling them that God is not a respecter of persons. From all parts of the world, people are going to come. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, once you're born again, it's for every nation, every people. God wants them all to have that. So this is a powerful thing. But Jesus himself was even baptized, you know, and not baptized. He was anointed, it says, with what? The Holy Ghost. Mm. And he was. Now, I don't know if he prayed in tongues or not. It doesn't tell us that, but he received the power he needed as well. And that's when he started his ministry, about the age of 30. So we see all these wonderful things that God did through all this. Now, I'm looking for another place here. Thank you, Jesus. You can pray as you're looking for something in the Bible.
Amen.
And the Lord will take you right there. He'll get you right there and show you where it's at in the Word of God.
That's right.
So, Lord, we just thank you for that. I'm thinking about one chapter I'm thinking about. I'm moving over to here. I think it's in chapter 19.
Glory to God.
Whoosh, manda laba. Yeah, chapter 19. Let's look at this now a little bit. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what every believer in America, every single believer needs to have. And we got all these different thoughts, you know, misunderstanding, saying it's of the devil. I'm telling you, how could getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be of the devil? You know, when I got it, I was on fire for God after I got it. I wanted to be around people that knew God. I wanted to study his word. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to pray and all. But that's the last thing the devil would want me to do. And so you can see why he's got all this falseness going around and misunderstanding about the power of the Holy Ghost and telling us even that it's not for today. It is for today. It has never been abrogated in any way, shape, or form. Men have twisted the Word of God. Men have put in what they thought it said. I like to read this exactly what it says in my King James Bible and nothing else. I don't need commentaries. I don't need somebody that's got a PhD in whatever to tell me what it says. It's plain English. This book, this King James, is written on a fifth grade level, so you don't have to have a PhD to understand what it's all about.
Hallelujah.
So let's look at chapter 19. I'm going to start at verse 1 and read a little bit here with you. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, they were there, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He asked them, have you received it? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, I think a lot of people in the church maybe feel that way today, because they've been told it's not for today. So they hadn't even heard of it. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. This was his baptism unto repentance. This is not the power we're talking about. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance. So he's telling you what it is. Uh-huh. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What? They were water baptized. They were baptized again, but this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that doing? That was showing they came into the body of Christ. They accepted Christ as their Savior. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and listen to this, and prophesied. Wow! And prophesied. Mm. How about that? The moment they received. So what? Why in the world would God want to eliminate and just have this moving of His Spirit ended at that particular time? I don't understand how people can come to that conclusion.
That's right.
I just don't understand it. God wants all of us to have the same thing that happened to all those disciples who come. Amen?
Glory.
Now here's another interesting thing. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 13. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost.
Whoa.
Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Antioch is where the scriptures that we have in the majority text in the Textus Receptus came from Antioch, not from Alexandria. Certain prophets that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now listen to this. These were gathered together as they ministered to the Lord. Who's the Lord here? This is talking about Yeshua, okay? And fasted. They ministered to Christ, and they also fasted. The Holy Ghost said. So something was said here.
Holy Ghost speaks.
The Holy Ghost speaks. Now let me just think about this. Hallelujah. Huh? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Well, how did the Holy Ghost say something? Did it just come out of heaven? No, we're going to find out. This is an example of the moving of the Spirit with the power of God.
Amen.
With the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These men were all saved, and they've received this already. Amen? Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we mentioned Saul here in verse 1, but Saul's name was later changed to Paul, okay? But he had an experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So here they were. They were all together, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, so somebody had to speak what the Holy Ghost was saying. They were probably praying in tongues. Well, then someone spoke this word. Maybe all of them got the same word. We don't know. But it says the Holy Ghost said, and he spoke through them. Didn't come out of this air. He didn't speak from heaven and say that. It came through those apostles.
Yeah.
Separate me, it says, Barnabas and Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus and so on. So they were sent out to do the work. Paul and who else? And Barnabas. Isn't it amazing? Separate those two to me. Hallelujah. So they received their commission, in other words. They received the call in their life, their expected end, the purpose that God had for them, their membership ministry, I like to call it. And they knew then what God was going to do. So they sent out, and by the way, they were sent out, and they all spoke the same thing. Didn't have five or six or seven different messages. It was the same message. Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. Hallelujah. So we have all these examples in the book of Acts of how the power of God moved through the disciples. Amen?
Glory to God.
Here's another place in chapter 13. I was looking about over here. Where was I at? Let's look at 13, chapter 13, starting in verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't you like to see that today?
Wow.
The whole city come to hear the word of God. Instead of all these denominations and what they believe and what they don't believe and you're not part of us and all that. But we need unity. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and what? Blaspheming. That's a key word. If we say that the Holy Ghost is not for today, we are blaspheming the God of this universe. And Jesus made it quite clear in Matthew that if we would do that and attribute anything that God was doing to something the devil was doing, then we were blaspheming the Holy Ghost or stopping anything that he was wanting to be done, having to be done by the moving of the Spirit. He said it will not be forgiven in this life or the one to come. Pretty powerful. And we got that going on today. People are blaspheming the Holy Ghost because of some man taught you this. It wasn't for today. It is for today. And then verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God, listen to this, should first have been preached to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected it, so they turned to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So the Jews, you know, they thought they were the only ones that were going to be in the kingdom of God. But the Holy Ghost revealed here that what? That everyone, God wants everyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants them all to come to repentance. Hallelujah. And so he's showing them here that everybody needs to have this power that we need, as we need today, and they need it back then as well. I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. So how do they ever come up with that thought? It's in their word. It's over in Isaiah chapter, I think that's in chapter 42. Now here's verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained. Listen, ordained. Hallelujah. As many as were what? Ordained. As were ordained. Disposed to what? To eternal life. That's what we have as we come to the Christ, to Christ. To eternal life, believe, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. What word? The same word. They all spoke the same thing.
That's right.
And the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Well, we have a lot of that in the church today. People deny this, and they don't want to be around you. They don't want you to come to a prayer meeting, you think, because you might pray in tongues. Well, that's for today, brother and sister. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. It's right here. Verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And listen to this now. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the what? The Holy Ghost. And then chapter 14, verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. How did they do that? By the power of the Holy Ghost. No other way. It's amazing when we think about all this. Aren't you glad?
Thank you, Lord. You know, Pastor Gene, the Holy Ghost moves. He still moves.
He's still moving
today.
He
moves in our church.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And we believe in the word, in the moving of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's so much we could talk about. We could talk about the Holy Ghost all every single day. You know, we need
for months
to because
and months,
we need
yeah.
the Holy Ghost. And I, you know, we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost, and we're supposed to pray in the Spirit, and I mean in the understanding. And it tells us that. It makes it so clear over
That's
here
right.
in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which we do this every single service. We spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, the Holy Ghost will open up your understanding because the Holy Ghost is from God. He brings the wisdom of God to us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Ghost will open up our understanding, and so we can pray in the understanding. Because it says over here in chapter 14, in verse 14 and 15, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So that's right there. It's key. Our
yes.
spirit, our mm-hmm. human spirit prays. Amen. And it's not something we can learn. It's not a language we learn. It's a language we receive. Isn't it something you're going to go out and learn some language? You got to study it and learn these languages.
You don't have to with the Holy Ghost.
We got to learn all these languages.
That's
how
right.
How to draw the letters. I remember teaching children how to draw the letters and all these things.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's something that's given to us. It's a gift from the Holy Ghost. We don't have to learn it.
Hallelujah.
It says, for the unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Our spirit receives it supernaturally. It's like having a visitation. You learn something supernaturally.
Yes.
Amen. But my understanding is unfruitful. So then he says, then what are we going to do then? Verse 15 says, what is it then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And I will pray with the understanding also. Why? Because the Holy Ghost gives us understanding. Then he goes on and says, and we do this too a lot. I love doing this. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. Well, how do you sing with the Spirit? Well, how do you sing in English? Can you speak in English? You sing in English. It's the same thing. You just got to put, you sound.
The language of the Spirit, isn't it?
It's a language. It's a song. So he will give us spiritual songs. And spiritual songs have meanings. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many people love to listen to a certain song? It means something to them. It has a meaning. It speaks of something that maybe of someone they love, something that happened. It's a song of the Lord. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. So Paul, he was a humble man. He sang in the Spirit. A lot of men don't want to sing. They don't even want to sing in the English. But they, if you're born again and you're Spirit-filled, you're going to want to sing in the Holy Ghost. He says, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in the understanding also. So this is such a wonderful gift. And Paul said in verse 18, he says, I thank my God.
Yes.
I speak with tongues more than ye all. So, he's encouraging us to speak with tongues. And not just these people back then when this was written. No, he's encouraging us to speak and to pray in the Spirit, because we will get the heart of God and we will know how to pray this perfect prayer.
Absolutely.
Well,
every time.
We can talk about this again next week. If you have any questions, you can give us a phone call. We're running out of time. We have services here, or meetings with God here every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will be getting together. And also tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So give us a call. We're in Stuart, Florida on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. And so the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah. So my prayer is that all the pastors listening to this, or that's in this, maybe there's some of them are listening to the radio program, I don't know, but all the church that's where this radio program goes, my prayer is that they'll all speak. Sunday's going to be
speaking tongues.
It's going to be Pentecost, honoring Pentecost in the church. I pray that they'll talk about this and offer it to people and pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because everybody needs it. And so I pray that it happens. More people get filled,
yes,
the more
Lord.
Things will happen.
Thank you, Lord.
So Father, we thank you for this. And so as we close this program, as we do every week, we tell you that we're here to raise the standard in the body of Christ, to have people look up to understand there's more than people's been taught in so many areas. Mm. And so Lord, we release the Spirit of God to teach.
Glory.
And activate people as they read the Word of God.
Yes,
so
Lord.
We thank you for that. So as we close this program every week, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.